Hello, this is Yoga, Chai and a Dog, your podcast hosted by Deepak and Archana. Hear them discuss various topics related to yoga, health and wellness. So, on to your hosts now.
Hi guys, welcome. So this is our third episode in the series on mental health, and we are very proud and honored to speak to a person who just not shares our similar feelings and our views on mental health, but he is also actively practicing in the area of mental health. What do you think,
Archana? Yeah, and it's coming from someone who has experienced it, who has lived it. So it's really beneficial thing what he has talked here. And we are so happy that he agreed to come to our podcast. So listen to it, guys.
So our guest today is Marius Pelzer. And I can speak about Marius, but I would rather let him do the speaking. It was really insightful, and as Archana said, it's coming from a place where he had been through the whole process and now he is recovered and he understands the importance of why we need to focus on mental health, and let's hear him out. But before I start the conversation with him, his page is called Warriors in Mind, and he would explain, you know, how you can access that page and how you can use that page to reach out to him and what he is doing. I'll also encourage you to go and check out Warriors in Mind on Instagram and Warriors in Mind on Facebook itself. So without further ado, let's join in the conversation now. So welcome, Marius. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Deepak, yourself.
We are good. So, it's me here and Archana.
Hi, Archana. I'm Archana. Hi, Marius.
Hi.
How's the weather there at Edinburgh?
You know, it's not too bad. It's sunny, a bit breezy, but I like the sun. A bit of blue sky.
Who doesn't? Yeah, we have got a blue sky, but it's cloudy. Anyway, Marius, you know, I have been following Warriors in Mind for a while, but being very honest, I don't have a lot of clue of what exactly Warriors in Mind stand for. How did it come about? What do you want to achieve? And of course, Archana doesn't know anything. So, you know, so I think probably that would be a good place to start. Tell me about Warriors in Mind. How did it come about?
Right, so Warriors in Mind started last year in 2019, and it was really a culmination of a few things. Firstly, so I was in the South African police previously many years ago, and subsequently have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and I've sort of learned how to cope, you know, some coping mechanisms and how I can improve what I'm doing in my life. Mm-hmm. But I always knew that there's, you know, I would like to help other people. And really the culmination of the two things were two really tragic events that happened. One was a friend of mine who I was counseling him for a while, but in the end, he took his own life.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, that sort of knocked me quite hard. And I started thinking about what can I do to help people more. So, you know, it's almost taking it from just an idea. How do I, you know, take this forward? And then the second event was my son. I picked him up from work one day, and at that stage he was working on the sort of the passenger cruise little ferries on the 5th or 4th year in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And he came home and he said, well, he was on deck and he saw a guy at the top of the bridge and the guy jumped.
Oh my God.
And him and I had a discussion because obviously, you know, he was about 17 at that stage, and we wanted to, you know, I wanted to make sure that he's not traumatized too much, and you know that I can find a way to help him through. And the one thing that really jumped out at me was something that he said, and that was, you know, he felt you know, there's nothing we can do if somebody has taken their life, that, you know, it has passed. But the thing that really shocked him is that, you know, he felt that there was no one there right at the end for that person to speak to. And we know there's lots of charities out there, but, you know, it got to the point for that gentleman to, you know, to take his own life. And, you know, I stepped away from that and I thought, I really need to do something. But I thought, well, what do I do? I can't be there for everybody all the time. But, you know, what can I put in place? And I'm a keen user of social media. So, you know, so I decided to start using social media to sort of spread the message that, you know, it's okay not to be okay. It's okay if you're struggling. We can use, with the right tools, we can use these situations to really become more resilient and get stronger. And if it does get to a point where you feel that actually, you know, it might be too painful or too much, knowing that there's a group or a person that you can reach out to, and not always, you know, I think people don't always want to reach out to a stranger. You know, pick up the phone and phone somebody that you've never met before and talk to them. But I was hoping that, you know, through social media with my followers, that I can build up a relationship that they can feel safe to give me a call, or, you know, just drop me a message and say, can I have a chat? Or, you know, what you said, the something that you posted really helped me, because I was in a dark place at that time. And that was, you know, really the start of Warriors. And it's been I wouldn't lie, it's been a tough journey trying to get it up and running and trying to get.
Let me interrupt you there. I think I just have a couple of questions which I want to cover.
Yeah.
You said you suffered from PTSD after your tenure as a police officer in South Africa. A lot of people don't know what PTSD is. I mean, you know, they know it stands for post-traumatic, you know,
PTSD.
They know it stands for, you know, post-traumatic, you know, disorder.
Yeah.
But for a person who has never experienced it, they may not even know the symptoms of a PTSD, right?
Yes.
So, I'm sorry, probably it might uncover a bit of old wounds, but can you actually help our listeners even understand what are the symptoms of this post-traumatic disorder?
Yes. So I think firstly, one of the myths out there, post-traumatic stress disorder is, it's not just people who went to war or worked in uniform that get it. You know, anybody can get it. It normally results because of a traumatic event or a series of events in somebody's life that your brain needs to cope with somehow or the other. And it can lie dormant for a very long time. So for me, it was probably a good, 14 years before I really, really realized actually there's something wrong. So the symptoms, you know, I always knew this. There was a few things that I thought, well, that's a bit strange, but it took about 14 years after the police where I got to a point where I realized, hold on, there's something wrong and I need to speak to someone. In terms of symptoms, there's a number of symptoms. So mine, for instance, I have bouts of depression, which can be quite quite difficult sometimes if you feel you've got this dark cloud over you. I also have hypervigilance, so that means I am more aware of what is happening around me. I could one day be fine and the next day walk, you know, through the city and keep looking over my shoulder because I think somebody's following me. Then there's the things like I would say sleepless nights, but that's as a result of dreams. Vivid dreams. People have it differently. Some people relive some of the experiences. For me, it is less the actual experiences that happened. It is more around the times when I couldn't help somebody, you know, and somebody passed away next to me, and physically there was just nothing I could do for them. And that's the ones that sort of keep me awake at night.
Sense of helplessness.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's anxiety, which is another terrible one. For listeners who suffer from that, they would know it is not nice. You feel like you are totally, totally helpless, stuck in a corner, and you know, it's like there's an extreme weight on your chest. You're so scared. That's a tough one. It's a difficult one. And then I sort of have a fifth one, which was identified, and that's a bit of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, which sort of can appear in people who have post-traumatic stress. And I'll do things like keep washing my hands when I'm working in the kitchen, and but excessively. Not every time after I touch something, I wash my hands. Or, I'll check the doors a couple of times every night before I go to bed, and that type of stuff. Those are probably the key symptoms for me at this time.
It's really heartwarming, but at the same time, it's a privilege to know you. It's a courage to come out in any platform and saying things like what you have suffered. Me and Deepak, we lost one of our child, during that time, I was quite young, didn't know what to do. And so I know what you said, that there is when that person, your son, he watched that person jumping from the bridge, there was no help or nothing. Why we are making this, we have failed as society, because this is not the responsibility just for the government or for an institute or anything. This is the responsibility for any adult.
Everyone.
Any adult who can see someone suffering. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you said that it's a disorder, I just hate this word, because I was reading, I might come back to you if you want to know about the author, but I read one book where he said that when depression happened, it's more, we are more intuitive, and it's a soul talk.
Yeah.
And the soul talk, which nobody else understand, yeah?
Yeah.
And just now, I have a very old friend. She came and she visited me, and we were talking. And I went through some stuff just last month, and whole last month was really very not good. So this morning, Deepak said, "Why did you cancel your classes?" I canceled two classes, actually, one after another, and I'm always on time to do the classes. What I think is, as a society, we have failed to understand that as we have got cold or flu or any virus or anything, any illness, we get leave to rest and relax and all. But when we are feeling emotionally drained, or when we are feeling things like what you said, nobody noticed that, actually.
Yes. Yeah?
And that's where... And I know we will come back to that, how you coped with it, and then we will share the things. I personally feel that, first of all, the disorder is not a right word, which I personally feel like it's not a disorder. It's more that person is getting touched with the soul of who he is as a person. Yeah, and he could not, and maybe your heart is like, you have a very big heart where you can't see anyone suffering, and that suffering, some people, nobody can see that. But the thing is, some people are much more sensitive towards it. So I told Deepak, no, I could not do the lessons those days or classes, because I was not in a right frame of mind. I wanted to rest and relax and rejuvenate again to come back to who am I as a person.
Yes.
Yes.
Totally agree.
So, so yeah, and it's so nice when you were saying those things, and I just think that any of the listener who are listening, it's there are people like Marius. He is doing the work, and there are people who are really willing to listen to you, and it's just somebody can see them and listen them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons when we started this series on mental health, one of the things that that we discovered, and to be what forget discover, I'm talking about myself. I have heard a lot about mental health. I know about mental health, but I don't know if I'm suffering from it. Quite often, I don't even know what the symptoms are, and I may write it off or ascribe it to something else. But you know, you may be suffering from, and you know, remember, you just mentioned that that symptoms came to you after 14 years.
Mm.
Yeah, and that itself is quite telling in terms of first trying to understand if there's something that is going, which is in your mind, you know, in your body, which you're not very sure of. The first thing is that, you know, you need to go and talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is very important. I know as a society, we need to be more responsive and we need to be more cognizant of other people's emotions. But yet there are people like you, there are people like Archana who are there and, you know, I will tell listeners, you know, just reach out, say, "Hey, can we have a chat?"
Yes,
and so, that itself, that's the beginning.
So, can we just now dig much more deeper, because you have said the part which was much more difficult to share, but now comes the, you know, everything has a darkness and light and good and bad and yin and yang. So now bring that part of your where you really started getting into your, I call it inner resources, you know, and you started reaching out for people. What did you do differently?
I think after my diagnosis, I knew I had a choice. I could either sit in a pile and, you know, cry and wonder, well, why me? What can I do? Or I thought, well, let me see how I can use this experience, not just to help myself onto a path of healing, but also to help other people. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, you need three things in your life to have optimal health. You need a healthy body, a healthy mind, and a healthy spirit. And that sort of, for myself, that's what I started focusing on. I started with what was probably the easiest was, you know, body. So we all know that exercise creates endorphins and, you know, it's sort of a happy drug. So I started running. I did a bit of running before that, but I thought, you know, I really need to do more because I really feel good when I do a bit of running. And it was sort of, I was offered antidepressants and medication when I was diagnosed. And I thought, you know, I've heard a lot about these things. I don't like the side effects. So no, I'll try and sort it out myself first. So I started, with running, and really looking at my fitness, which took me from, you know, and I couldn't run the length of me when I started. And, you know, I sort of improved and I kept pushing myself and I always felt good about that. And then, you know, tied into that body then is, well, at some point you need to look at what you eat, you know, so for your food, what you put in your body, helps drive that engine, and that engine is, you know, your whole body, your body, mind, and everything. So understand what you put into your body. So I've done some research, and you know, then later on last year, learned a lot more through two ladies that I met around nutrition. In terms of the spirit side, I suppose, you know, everybody has a different thing, but it ties in, Archana, to that bit that you were saying about, you know, just finding that rest. You know, some people will use yoga, some people might use their religion, you know, anything. For me, it is very much, I need some quiet time. I need some time to reflect, time to rest my brain. And, you know, that sort of fuels me up again and makes me feel a lot better. And then
I feel like when whatever you're saying, the first thing which our listener, I love that thing what you said, that we all have a choice. Yeah? So this is the main thing. When the choice, when we know that there is a choice, then there is a way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that is the turning point.
Yeah.
It can either make you or it can or you know, or you can probably jump off a bridge.
And the next thing what you were saying, like, you know, you started me time, quiet time. So you know, I have worked with Czech principal, which is one guy named Paul Czech, and I've done a lot of training with him. And he mentioned four doctors. So four doctors are Dr. Movement, Dr. Diet, Dr. Quiet, and Dr. Happiness. So Dr. Quiet is your me time. Happiness is something what you create, like music or drawing or whatever you create, for your soul, actually. I feel it's for the soul purpose you create that, not for any competition, anything. Yes, if you are good enough, that would go into competition. But the thing is, it's not anything like... So it's really nice because... Knowingly or unknowingly, you have touched everything which was needed, from body and to movement, to your quiet time, and to your happiness, where you are just not doing the body work. Running is also creating a happiness in your life. So sorry to interrupt you, but I would just.
But it's also interesting how some of these things actually link those three aspects to each other. So I had to think about it this morning. I went for a swim this morning, and you know, that's, people would see, well, actually that's just a body, that's just an exercise. But actually being out there in the middle of a loch in Scotland, freezing cold, swimming, but having that alone time. And there was a few times where I just stopped and just floated in the water and looked around me and thought, you know, it gives you that, just that inner peace and a bit of that me time, that calming down time. And then the mind side is probably the more complex part. It's something that I constantly try and think of about how I can help people. And it's really becoming understanding what is happening to you, or what has happened to you, but then also comes with that decision. You know, I want to make a difference, and therefore, you know, becoming more resilient, finding those things in your life that you can learn from and change. You know, things like looking at a task that might be ahead of you, and you know you might be stressing about it, and go, well, actually, in 5 years' time, will it make a difference?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. And if it is one of those things that you worry about, and actually you think, well, in 5 years' time, no one is even going to remember about this. You know, it's just me stressing about it. Then you sort of have a different mindset that you can take when you go into these situations.
This is one of the meditation technique also. So, you know, when there is a, you know, we see our mind as a projector, and you can project whatever you want. So we can, and I write something, I love writing. So, you know, whenever I am going through something, the best tool for me is writing, actually, words. So, and I wrote that, you know, why we suffer, you know, and I am not saying like suffering we bought for ourselves. It's nobody else gives us suffering, actually. So why we suffer? Because we keep on revisiting our past. Again and again. And when we revisit our past, we are not living in now.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and the projector is a thing where we are projecting our past or whatever we are experiencing, and that is we are projecting. But if we start projecting what it will be like, you know, if you are a runner and if you have just rolled for 10K or maybe marathon, half marathon, whatever. So you project that you are on the finishing line of that. So you are projecting something different. And then seeing, oh, running will give this because I talked to someone and this has happened to their knee, this has happened, they got this in their ankle. So you stop, you know, you can project anything. It's your will.
I think in every sports they say that, you know, yeah.
Not only sports, I'm talking about how you could change your mindset.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how you always have to, it's always a mind play. Your mind plays on that. Probably this is a nice place to interrupt here. Sorry, I interrupted you early about warriors in the mind. So tell me about warriors in the mind. How do you go about it?
So two ways, really. One is, and probably the most prominent, is using social media. So I use both mostly Instagram and Facebook. I have two accounts there for warriors in mind. And it is the, you know, a steady flow of stuff that I could find online, things like, or, you know, from reading books or some things written by people that's way more clever than me. You know, inspirational pieces, anything like that. Obviously, I don't try and push the fitness part too much because people don't always want to have that shoved down their throat.
Yeah.
But it's finding that balance of just getting that a message out there and creating that community where, you know, people can feel safe in. The other one is happens less, and I think I had a few plans to do a bit more this year, but obviously due to lockdown that, you know, that didn't happen, is having talks about nutrition and fitness and its impact on mental well-being, which I do in partnership with a company called Wellness EQ, specifically around the nutrition side, where we have, you know, half an hour, 45 minute talk to people, you know, talking about the value of exercise and specifically the value about what you eat, how you eat, you know, and the impact of things like sugar on your body and how it affects your brain and your mental health.
So who are the audience? I mean, do you go to like, you know, specific like offices or, you know, schools, colleges, or who comes to these kind of talks?
Yeah. So again, there's a few avenues there. I've tried the publish it. I got a facility in Edinburgh at a hotel, a room, and, you know, really worked my way up for this and was slightly disappointed when there were only about five people there. And I knew all of them, apart from one. So, you know, most of them were actually my supporters who came there. But walking away from that, I thought, well, I shouldn't be disappointed. It is a learning experience, to find the right audience, but also gave me a chance to hone some of my skills in front of people that I know a safe environment. Some of the other stuff that I do is I'm a mental health ambassador and I sit on the board of directors for Supported Mind Scotland. So through Supported Mind Scotland, I've had a number of opportunities where I could have a chance to go to the, you know, workplace of people where I could talk, especially times around Mental Health Week every year, where, you know, we could go do a bit of a talk, do a Q&A, and try and understand, you know, help people understand my journey and what I've learned, and at the same time, I can impart some of my experience onto them. And then in my own company, where I work, we have not quite under the Warriors in Mind banner, but, you know, that started with myself and a colleague, really. So what we do is we run, when the offices are open, we run a twice a week, we do a walk and talk over lunchtime.
Okay.
Where what we do is we give people a chance to step away from their desk, and go for a walk. And the biggest rule is don't talk about work unless you really, really have to. You know, unless it's something at work that's really troubling you and you want to get it off your chest in a safe environment, then you can. Otherwise, you know, it's a half an hour, 45 minute walk where people can just open up and talk. And what we've actually branched that out in collaboration with This Is Me Scotland. We did it in Edinburgh through, I think the biggest one, we had about 6 or 7 companies that all met together at lunchtime and went for a walk. Wow. And again, the rule was don't speak to the people from your own company because you know them. And for me, that's very difficult because I'm not keen on meeting new people normally. But find somebody, have a chat with them. And, you know, it's just a social half an hour or so. And the feedback on that has been extremely, extremely good. It's extremely positive. A number of people have commented that, that half an hour walk for them is really the thing that they look forward to in the week because it gives them a chance to just get things off their chest in a safe environment.
Let me ask you one question, because, you know, when I get people, you know, and generally people come to me for, they want to lose weight or they want to be more functional, or maybe they have some eating issue, like, you know, some pain, maybe backache or maybe skin irritation. So do you find it in your work, you know, when you are because you can identify, we all have got some sort of these things going on. So I can't say that if somebody is saying, oh, she's a positive person, you know, people, I'm very active in social media and people think that I am always happy going person and this. No, my life also goes upside down. And so what I have observed that when people come to me, because now with so many years of my work and experience, then I observe that people come with a different issue to you, actually. But when you start working with them, you realize that the pain what they are facing in their body, or maybe something, it's more to do with how they are feeling from inside. And maybe it's something going on in their relationship, or maybe something has happened in the workplace, or maybe something with the inner, you know, I work on the inner child. So do you face those type of thing when you talk to someone and they are not, because those people, either they are very much into fitness and food and everything, or either they don't want to listen anything about it.
I think especially for the walk and talks, they are, I think that, you know, in general, it is not the fit people who come and join us. It is people who, just need to time away, or, you know, started walking because of a health condition, maybe. You know, they saw it as a way to get away from their desk and do a bit of exercise, and actually then realize that they can open up and have a conversation, and, you know, they almost feel lighter when they get back to the office. So I think the audience for that is quite broad. I think we've only ever once had somebody who said, oh, I can't walk at this pace. You know, this is too slow for me. I'm not going to join again. And I'm fine with that. For the majority of them, they just want that time to step away and in a safe environment, offload, you know. And like you say, it could be, you know, a problem with their husband or wife or partner or their boss, or actually just a time where they are struggling. And we are, so both myself and Louise, who runs these sessions with me, we are both trained mental health first aiders. So we, you know, we are trying to spot any situations where we might need to intervene, but we're trying to keep it as for the walk as light as possible and, you know, get enough time with everybody and just to get a view of what the temperature in the group is.
So where do you want to see your thing going? You know, where do you want, or do you want to ask something?
Before that, I had a question. I still feel that mental health carries a lot of stigma. You know, if you are overweight, if you or you are underweight, you have a heart condition or you have any condition, you are not bothered. But if you have a mental health condition, you are very bothered and you hide it. Do you agree with that?
Yes, totally.
And why?
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but this is what I'm trying to understand.
And this is what I'm trying to even, you know, communicate through our cities on mental health to our listeners is that, you know, it is like any other ailment that your body suffers.
Yes. And I think for men, it is more difficult because you know, a lot of men have grown up with the cowboys don't cry type of upbringing. And actually, we should cry. You know, that's a way for your body to rid of some of the emotion. So, yes, I find that people will often hold everything in. You know, they bottle it up. And we know, you know, from some very famous people that have taken their lives who, you know, went through their life with a smile on their face and everybody thought, you know, this guy is absolutely brilliant. And actually in the end, he was really sad and he was really, really struggling with things in his life or her life. So it's difficult to spot, but the problem that we have is the fear of, if I tell somebody, how will they react? Will they accept me? Or, you know, will I be an outcast? Now,
or would that make me a lesser man?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
The thing is, when I was diagnosed, I did have that. And what part of my decision was, I need to test the water. I need to tell somebody. And the first person that I spoke to was my line manager back in the day. And I said to him, look, I need to tell you, this is what's happened. I've been diagnosed. And I sort of sat back and wondered, what's going to happen? And it was the most positive experience I've had probably, you know, in many years about mental health. Because
I was in deep depression initially after marriage, and you know, a lot of things happened, and I never noticed because back then I was in India, and as a woman also, we are not supposed to show that it's your family life and everything is okay. Yeah. So you know, and what I felt power, you know, in me is when I started, you know, again, my journey also started with walking, running, and, you know, taking aerobic classes. And then I started teaching those classes. But then I thought, you know, when I made my first website, so my story was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I was very honest, I'm one thing which I'm very proud of. I'm very honest of who am I. Yeah. So I own myself for whatever I have gone through or whatever I am today. Yeah.
Yes.
So, that story was shared, and that story was about, you know, I was obese, and then something happened, and, you know, in my late 20s, 30s, and then I started. So I was training a client, a private client, during the coaching, and she said that one of her friends said that she only gets client because she sells her own stories.
Mm-hmm.
Her stories or something, and that gave me, like, you know, it was really hurtful to hear. But then I came back home and I thought, why did I share that story? Because by that time I was in that position that I was I was okay. Mm-hmm. I was okay. You know, I was doing okay. And I had much more confidence in who am I, yeah, as a person. So I thought this story might not have affected that person, and she's taking it very negatively. But this story would matter to a lot of women who is struggling. Yeah. And this is the power when you said about your story as a man, you know, and you're quite right. Men are not allowed to cry. And but when you are saying it, it shows to me, it shows a very vulnerable but very beautiful part of a person. Mm-hmm. That they go through all this, but they are so courageous. They are so good to come up and say that, okay, I am dealing with this and I am in this process and I am making a change in other people's life also because of my experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So your story matters.
and Marius, as you mentioned that, you know, when you realize that you have this issue and when you talk to your line manager and your line manager really kind of, you know, helped you and kind of encouraged you to continue your journey. See, most of the time, if this goes to any of the listeners, that, you know, if you are feeling that things are not right and you're not able to place it and you go and speak to a person, you know, obviously the first person, the person you would select to speak to, you would have some level of confidence or at least
or trust.
Know, or trust. Trust is very important. I think that's the word I was searching for. And you would be amazed at the response that you will get. Believe me, criticism perhaps would be not even the last. It would not even figure in the thing. I mean, unless you have really chosen a wrong person, and then you should actually first think about your choice before, you know, before you decide to open up. But most of the time, it as a person, it gives me some psychological satisfaction that someone has come to me and asking to share something very personal with me. Yeah, and that gives me a kind of a confidence that at least I am trustworthy of someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is a human trait.
Indeed.
Because if you, any person, any human being feels much more, not with the car, not with the house, not with a beautiful wife or a husband, they find more alive when they can reach out and can help anyone. And that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely one of those ways of reaching out is telling your story. Because it is like you said, there might be that one person that hears that story and it changes something for them. It gives them that confidence to start speaking out. It gives them the opportunity to learn a bit more about themselves and how they can deal with their situation. And it's simple by, you know, people telling their stories. And to start telling your story, it is daunting. It is difficult to do it the first time because, like I said, you don't know what the responses will be.
You know, Marius, my daughter, she is 21 and one of her friend, and she knows that guy from the college, and he started in social media talking, and I've hats off to those young children, you know, who are coming into social media and writing about their stuff. So she was very appreciative about it, but suddenly, and he got admission in Birmingham College, everything was going fine, but suddenly one day he decided to finish his life. So she was talking to me, and then when she was in college in Winchester, she said suddenly one guy, he came and he jumped and in front of the rail, and it just, you know, when we in social media is really wonderful thing because you can reach out to very good people and reach out to good stuff and everything. But at the same time, this is what we, you know, whoever is much more awakened and much more aware, we have to share our story. We have to share that things are not always how it looks from outside. It's dirty. It's mess. But in that mess also, the lotus grows. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
So if we would start sharing more and more, and my heart goes out for those young children who are coming out now and in social media, and they show that, oh, I have got this punch in my ab and I'm still beautiful when they write. And absolutely they are beautiful, yeah. You know, and no matter what shape and size they are. But, you know, when they are doing those type of thing, and my daughter follows a lot of people like that, and I follow a lot of young people like that. And it's just what we need as a grown-up also. But we grown-up are not taking so much of responsibility these days, because we are just showing, oh, we have this holiday in a very nice place and everything is so perfect. And then we go, I have this dress. And it's good that we can show that part also. That's also a need of a, mm-hmm. you know, human growth. But at the same time, I think it's so powerful to share the stories and to just give, to hold those younger generation in our palm, that, you know, they are safe and secure.
Yeah.
Because we are the one, we have gone through all this, and they should feel okay to be in this mess or whatever, but they will come out.
Yeah.
So, Marius, if somebody were to reach out to Warriors in Mind, how can they do that?
Like I said, Facebook or Instagram, it's Warriors in Mind is the name of the page. Both pages have the same name. Follow there, and if you need to get in contact, it's normally through the Facebook page. There is a messenger button that will go through Facebook Messenger straight to me. And I welcome anybody, you know, give the page a follow, and reach out if you want to have a chat, or if anything that you see or hear has an impact on your life.
Wow. That's absolutely
so
amazing.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. I just wish we could continue talking more on that, but I deserve the right to rope you in again for another podcast.
Yes.
I'm sure. Marius, it was wonderful talking to you.
Yeah, it was really wonderful talking to you. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah. Thank you for the invite, guys.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening, guys. Please do not forget to subscribe. Love to hear from you. Our email is yoga.chai.dog@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter at yogachaidog1 or on Instagram @yogachaidog. Bye-bye.
Bye.